Welcome to Heal the Hurt, the podcast dedicated to guiding you on your journey to mental wellness and healing from trauma. Each episode, we delve into the heart of healing, exploring the paths to overcome trauma, regain strength, and reclaim joy in our lives. Whether you're taking your first steps toward recovery or you're well on your way, this is a place for connection, understanding, and real talk about the challenges and triumphs of the healing process. Together, we'll uncover insights, share stories, and embrace the power of resilience. So take a deep breath and let's begin the journey of healing together. This is Heal the Hurt, where your journey of transformation and hope starts now. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Heal the Hurt podcast. We are so glad that you joined us and really excited about this particular episode, giving you guys an opportunity to hear from somebody who has experienced bullying. My name is Chris. Our mission is to help people understand recovery and understand healing and get involved with the support services and resources that we think are required for that healing. And so you participating in listening to us supports that cause. So thanks for being with us. So I'm going to introduce you to my friend who is going to be anonymous here as she shares some of her story or some of the effects of being bullied and kind of what that's done to her. We probably don't have to go very far to find somebody who has either been bullied, who has been a bully, or has somebody very close to them who's been negatively impacted by the effects of bullying, unfortunately. And so as you listen to this episode, please remember that you are not alone, that you do not have to sit back and ignore signs and behaviors of other people when they are being bullies. Most of the time, if not always, most of the time, those things are coming from somewhere. Those are learned behaviors. We don't excuse them. We don't justify or rationalize them, but there is a cause. And if we look deeper, if we have the capacity to look deeper, we can actually be a helper. So, my anonymous friend, what has your experience been like in being bullied? And I'll use some of my terms, my terminology, being bullied, being picked on, being lied about, being gossiped about.
I've always been bullied, like, when I lived, like, closer to the city. Like, first grade, it was always just, like, girls just saying stuff or just saying stuff to be mean or saying mean things when I thought they were funny. But it definitely got more extreme in middle school, in, like, sixth grade. And I had this friend who I met on the first day, and we became, like, really close during, like, that first year. We, like, opened up to each other, so, like, we kind of, like, told each other, like, what we went through and stuff and like that. And then, like, later down the road, like, in seventh grade, we weren't friends anymore. And I found, like, this account that, like, popped up on my, like, page. And it was, like, pictures of me calling... calling me, like, a slut and saying all this, like, stuff about me. And I was very confused because I, like, hadn't even kissed anyone. Yeah, very confused. And then that happened for a while. And then we found out it was that friend that I was close with in sixth grade. And, yeah, she had said a lot of, like, bad stuff about me and this one kid who she had a crush on, which is, like, the whole thing that, like, started it, which was very stupid. And she ended up messaging my friends, telling them that I was anorexic and that I should kill myself and all these things.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So to kind of recap that, you had never kissed a boy, but you're being called a slut by this person who you think is your friend, right? They're going behind your back. And it turns out that she's accusing you of these things with the boy that she likes. It's interesting how common that is when we learn about bullying, when we uncover those kinds of things, how things get skewed, how people that we love or trust might betray us,
yeah,
might be going behind our back out of jealousy, envy, fear, their own trauma, whatever it is, that is brutal. That is so rough. Okay, and then you find out that she's accusing you, she's calling you anorexic, and what's worse is suggesting that you should kill yourself.
Yeah.
That is so unfortunate.
Yeah, it was rough.
I think I can speak for anyone that would listen and for our community in general. We're glad that you didn't do that. You didn't follow through with that. What came from that bullying episode? Like, what happened?
I shut myself off from the friends I did have during the beginning of the year. And it took me a while to open up to new friends because I didn't know what they were going to say about me. I didn't know if they saw the page and if they believed it. I didn't want that to happen again. So it took me about a month or two. And then my best friend, she helped me open up to her group of friends, and they're all very sweet. I'm close with them now, and that's good. Yeah, it's a big group of girls, so obviously we can all get mad at each other and all say mean things to each other. Mm-hmm. With that group, I think it's really nice because we all work through it pretty nicely.
Okay, so this is a new friend group now. Mm-hmm. You're not friends with this first person, yeah. Right? That was being mean. And you have this other friend, a best friend, that helped you navigate through, get through that, the bullying. And so she introduced you to other friends.
Yeah.
And you gravitated to them. That's awesome. You know, I hear people say sometimes that girls are so mean to each other. Maybe that's true. I think guys can be mean to each other too. It's different though. Guys are physical, they fight, and then they'll get over it and they'll be friends again. But it seems like girls are, maybe they'll hold on to it a little bit longer. It will last more. And from my perspective, in my experience, physical wounds, while we don't love them, we tend to get over physical wounds more quickly than we get over emotional pain, psychological pain. So when people are mean to us, when they bully us in emotional ways or verbally, that pain lasts longer. It messes with us, I think, psychologically even. Where is this coming from? What did I do to you? Why am I being targeted here? Especially if we're somebody who is kind and loving and energetic, wants to help others, why would I be targeted in that way? A lot of times it's jealousy and envy. It's a projection. Somebody in their life who's not very happy for some reason, not very happy, but has to take that energy and put it somewhere, and they'll put it on somebody else in this form. That's so sad.
Yeah, it's way too common. It's way too much.
Yeah.
And I've done it before too, and I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think after I've realized how something can be misinterpreted and be hurt someone else, and I've definitely learned to become more aware of my words and how I approach people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So as somebody who's been the recipient of bullying, you recognize where you've acted toward people in a hurtful way. Does that shift how you interact with people now? Does it change the way, does it change your relationships with friends and others?
Yeah. And before this whole hate page kind of thing, I would say stuff more as in joking kind of way. And I realized how some of those things I said could be very hurtful.
Mm.
So I am, in a way, I'm thankful for that happening because I at least have something to learn from it.
So in the past, if I'm hearing you right, in the past you might joke with somebody, being silly, being funny, not being serious, not being hurtful,
yeah.
But maybe that person didn't take it as a joke. Maybe they were hurt by it. And so having gone through this kind of experience maybe helps you to recognize maybe what I consider funny isn't funny to everyone. You know, I tell a lot of dad jokes that I think are funny. Probably everyone else doesn't think they're funny, right? So that's a different subject, but that kind of thing, where if I'm just teasing somebody, and as a person who has a tendency to tease the ones I love the most, right? It's almost like a sign of affection, you know, I'll tease my people, right? If I'm not teasing you, then we have a problem. Now that's mostly a joke, but I think the reality and the point here is, in those relationships that we have with other people, we might think it's funny. We might think it's safe, that it's fair game, but it might be something that's really sensitive to somebody else, right? They might take it as really hurtful, and it could jeopardize our relationships with them, of course. What would you say to people who are being bullied or have been bullied? Like, what? How would you encourage them?
It depends on like the situation. Like if I'm closer to someone, then I always like I want to talk to them about it. Like I want to open up to them about like what I went through with that, just because that's like kind of like how I want to like relate to people about it. And like sometimes like I don't want to talk about it. Sometimes like it took me a while to open up about it, so it's kind of hard to like understand. Really keep that in mind when you want to talk to other people about it. But I definitely think it's important to like reach out, or even if you think like, oh, like this person looks sad, like they might be having a bad day, I should reach out. I am definitely more aware of that. Yeah.
So who are the people that like would be best to reach out to in somebody's life?
I would say like a friend that they've known for a while, mm-hmm. and that they can like really trust, or like your parents, which I know is like kind of like no one really wants to talk to their parents. But when I opened up to my mom and my dad about like some of the stuff that I went through and that like the whole bullying thing caused, it definitely helped, because like now I'm in therapy and stuff, and I talk to my therapist, and like I get how that can be scary. But it's definitely important.
Yeah, absolutely. There can be this freeze when we're afraid, and we can act like everything's okay. And some of us can and keep a pretty straight face for a while. Like, no, everything's good. Everything's fine. But those people in our lives that know the signs that not everything is okay, I think it's really important that they persist, that they keep asking, that they keep digging, right? When their intuition is a little bit off, like she's not doing okay. Asking the questions, okay, everything's fine. I'll believe you for a minute, but I'm going to ask again tomorrow or next week or something like that. Sometimes we want to believe that everything's okay. We don't want to, as a parent, I don't want to believe that my kids could be going through hard times. I don't want them to experience pain, right? And even further, as a parent, I also don't want to believe that my child could be doing something to hurt someone else. And so to any who would be listening, it's so hard to come out and say, look, this person's hurting me, or this person's being mean to me. This is how I feel. Because we might not want them to get in trouble, or we might not want to have trouble at school or whatever our environments are, right? We don't want more consequences because we tell. But the reality is that's the best way to get those behaviors to stop, for us to be safe again, is to share with a safe adult, with a parent or teacher, or like you mentioned, like a good friend that you can trust, who could help you navigate away from that situation and to maybe a new group of friends that are better, that are kinder, that have your back, right? What other experiences have you had with people where, oh, just teenage emotions, whether it's bullying or arguing, fighting, or hurting people?
And like, for me, like when I'm like mad about something or I'm stressed about something, I don't want to talk about it. But my mom, she's very observant, and sometimes it's kind of like hard because I don't want to talk about it, but at the same time she knows that like she like has to ask or it's gonna get worse. So like I do definitely get like mad and like sometimes argue, but mostly like we work with therapists good, and then it most of the time like it helps the situation. But like even like with friends, like I had a fight with my best friend because she was like just ignored me out of the blue, and then last night like we talked through it and we worked through it. There was a lot of miscommunication, so especially like with like kids my age, like I definitely overthink, or I definitely like make a situation bigger without even realizing it, like everyone does. So yeah, I definitely felt like working through that and talking about it helped.
That's definitely not exclusive to just teenagers. I can tell you that much. I think as humans, one of our flaws is that we might overthink and overanalyze things, and we worry, especially if I've already been through an experience of bullying or somebody who I thought was my friend kind of betray me. I'm going to have a little bit more worry that that could happen again. And I don't want to get fooled twice. I don't want to get hurt twice. And so we might be a little bit more cautious and almost assume like this happening again. I've been here before and this person's going to do it too. So I love that you said you guys talked about it. You know, we approach that situation with questions and this is how I'm feeling. What's going on with you and you know, in our relationships? Where do we stand? How are things going? And did I do something to hurt you or to offend you or to bother you? Those can be really scary questions to ask, especially at a young age.
I feel like I was more like wanting to talk about it and like wanting to figure it out because, I mean, I don't want to sound like biased or anything, but I'm told that I'm mature for my age. And I think like just part of that comes like with my family, like my aunts and my grandma and my mom, they don't like agree on anything.
Okay.
So I've definitely seen like where like fights can go and stuff. And like, I didn't realize it when I was little and like not until like last year when I kind of like realized like what would happen. So I try my best not to like let a fight get to like that point.
Mm-hmm. So are you like a mediator? Are you one who wants to resolve problems? You want people to be maybe on good terms, or even if they can't be on good terms, if they disagree, to be safe around each other. I remember at a holiday event, a family holiday gathering recently, there was a sign on the door that said something to the effect of politics and religion free zone, meaning there will be no discussions about those kinds of things, right? While we're here. And as an arguer, I wanted to be like, wait, no, we will talk, right, about these things. But the reality is we might have disagreements. We might have different perspectives on things. In order to have a good holiday dinner, we're going to leave those topics at the door, right? And connect on the things that we have in common or the things that really matter to us most. Sometimes I judge people that don't like Mountain Dew because I love it. That's a trivial thing. That doesn't really matter. Who cares if you like a soda or not?
Yeah.
Maybe it's my favorite sports team or my favorite color. You know, anyone else who doesn't think the same way that I do, there must be something wrong with them. Like, that's absurd. But sometimes we have strong emotions around that. Things that are different, people that are different, even people that we might be competing with for the affection of a boy, you know. What would you say to somebody who doesn't think very highly of themselves? Somebody that's maybe a teenager or your age or something that maybe they're critical of themselves. What would you say to them that might uplift them or encourage them?
I would like tell them that like I get it too, and I'm still like that, but I definitely learned how to like work through that, and that like if they are open to it, it is very helpful, like talking to someone, or like whether it's like a close friend or your parents or like a therapist, to like open up about that. And maybe like, because like I'm not the best like one to help like uplift people, but I always like try to like kind of like bring the attention off of that. Does make them happier too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that's probably not the best thing because it doesn't really like fix like the way they're feeling. Like it might temporarily do that, but it might not like fix it like forever.
In therapy, there's this thing we'll talk about, the difference between deflect or distract and then delay. So there are some of those things where it's like, ooh, I don't ever want to talk about this. Let's just kick the can down the road. Let's just like deny everything's fine. Everything's good. And we pretend like all is well with no intention of ever talking about those things or dealing with those things, right? That doesn't work. That's not effective. And most of the time, in my experience, that leads to problems down the road. There's a difference between that and then delay, meaning ooh, I don't want to talk about this. This is going to be really hard. I know I need to, but right now is not the time. Right now, I'm not ready. Right now, I'm tired. I'm grumpy. I'm whatever it is, right? So maybe tomorrow or maybe next week, or let's create a plan around me talking about those things and addressing those things. You know, I like delay. I think delay is healthy, right? It means like, look, I know I've got to deal with that, but let's create some plans and a map of how to do it. It's using a coping skill, I think. So to our listeners, anybody who comes in earshot of this, there are scary things in life. And there is a time and place to deal with all of that, to address those things and to heal through them, whether it's confronting a bully, whether it's talking to people about anxiety, our depression, our worries, things that are happening that maybe aren't safe. There's a time and a place to do that. But we want people to do that.
Yeah.
You were talking about going to therapy. And there are a lot of people who would say, ooh, I don't want to do that, or I don't believe in that, or that's for weak people. And they might even be a little bit judgy around that. Did you have any worry about talking to a therapist before you started?
Well, I first started going to therapy when I was in fifth grade. That was like a different therapist. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he wasn't like the greatest therapist in my opinion. And I was also like going there a lot, like with my family and like trying to like work through that and like think about that. And I wasn't like open to like talking about it or like anything like that. So I would like talk about other stuff and like just try to like avoid the subject.
Yeah.
And I still do that sometimes, but I'm definitely getting like comfortable talking about stuff. Before I came back to therapy, I had like told my dad something that like had really affected me during the bullying thing. Mm-hmm. I only told like him and my mom, and I think my stepmom knows now. I don't really know, but that's the reason I came back to therapy. And it was really hard to open up to my dad because, like, my parents have done, like, so much for me and my siblings and stuff. And I didn't want, like, them to be worried about anything. Yeah, it was definitely hard to open up to my dad, but mm-hmm. I'm glad I did because I'm not, like, as anxious and not as worried. It's just better now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, and if we go to therapy, it is so important that we have a therapist, a relationship with a therapist who's a good fit for us. You know, there are a lot of options out there. The fit is crucial. It's got to be somebody that we feel safe around and somebody that we feel like will be helpful to us. Because otherwise, we're just sitting there going, oh, I've got to be here and they're making me and I don't want to. I'm never going to open up to this person and any of those kinds of things. So it can sometimes feel like a waste of time maybe. So having the right one is crucial. It's so important.
Yeah, it definitely takes like a lot of time and mm-hmm. consideration too.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes maybe you're not like as close or like don't really have that kind of like relationship with your therapist because you're still like closed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like maybe if I did open up more, maybe things would have been different. Well, I guess I can't really fix that now. I am glad that I'm like opening up more with my therapist now.
Mm-hmm.
I hope other people do because it is scary, but it's important.
Scary doesn't mean necessarily that it's not helpful or beneficial. What do you think our community could do to reduce bullying?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you can't really like stop it. But, like, I guess you could try to bring awareness to it. Like other than like the assemblies of like, don't do this on them. Mm-hmm. Like, don't say that because kids still do it. Or like, I remember I was in like third or fourth grade and someone like had like some speaker like come and talk to the whole school and they brought like a bag of chips and they're like, I want someone to come up here and like hold this bag of chips and just like say something mean to it and then like punch it or like squish it out
mm-hmm.
and like crush like the chips inside. And then like after they had like people and like all the kids like come up and say something mean and like destroy the chips. At the end of the assembly, they like opened up and there was just like a bunch of crumbs and they're like, you can never take back what you said or how you hurt someone. And like, as like a little kid, like I definitely thought about that a lot more, but it didn't like stop me from like being, maybe saying those like mean jokes to like some of my friends that I didn't realize were mean. So I think especially like my sister, like she doesn't even know like half the stuff that like she says like what it means. Mm-hmm. And I think like if we kind of like maybe brought more awareness to like that on like a deeper level, then maybe it would help. I definitely think it would be more like efficient to like kind of like a safe space or like where like teenagers and like your kids or like anybody can like talk to, especially for kids, but like in schools and like other than like counselors and stuff.
Yeah.
There's like a group of kids or like a blog that they wrote to, mm-hmm. that kind of like open up to it. And like maybe I wouldn't have done that in the moment, but I think it'd definitely be good to have like that kind of like community in the school. You're not like the only one, because like I've had friends that have like gone through like some of the same stuff as me, and it's definitely like helpful when you can kind of like relate to that. So it like brought me closer with those friends a lot. At the same time, it kind of hurts because like you don't know if they're doing okay all the time, like mixed kind of like feelings about it. But there should definitely be like more help in the schools for like kids and like stuff for like adults, for like people at work and stuff like that.
I know that they have things like the Hope Squad, and they have like buddy systems and different phrases that people will use. If you see something, say something, you know, don't assume that everything is well all the time, that everything's just perfect. But if you're worried about something, you can make anonymous reports, you know, to a counseling office, or you could say something to a parent like, hey, so-and-so in my class or at school or in the community, like the neighbor, whatever it is, I heard this or I saw this and I just was worried, you know. And a parent might go, oh, yeah, that's, you don't need to be worried about that, right? Or a parent might go, that's a little weird. That's concerning. Let's look into that. The things that keep us from maybe addressing those issues or talking about those issues is we worry that somebody's going to get in trouble or that someone would be mad at us even. But I think the reality is it's more beneficial to say something and get somebody help if they need help, so that if somebody is in harm's way, if somebody is being bullied, they can get some support and resources and people can help them.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it would be a good idea to have like some like anonymous like thing in like schools, or like if you're worried about a friend or something, because I have had a friend like with struggles, like suicidal like thoughts, mm-hmm. and stuff. And I remember we were all hanging out and that friend was there, and I was driving home with one of my other friends, and we had all gotten a text from her just saying like, I love you, like goodbye, like you're such a good friend. And all of us were worried and we didn't know what to do. I guess an hour and a half like after that, we had like finally gotten like hold of her, and we were like, hey, like we're coming to your house and stuff. And like me and my friend that I was with at the time, we wouldn't have known what to do if our parents weren't kind of like more aware of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it helps like if parents kind of like know more about that too, or like kind of know what to like say in situations and stuff like that. Because when I was like kind of struggling with that, like my parents would like say some things that like I know they meant well, but it still kind of hurt. It is kind of cliche to like say like, oh, bring awareness to this, or like you need to talk to someone about this, but I definitely think there should be like a better way to do that stuff. Because if there was a better way, I definitely think it would help.
Yeah. If we can reduce bullying by one person, if we can reduce suicide by one person, then that's looked at as success. It's not enough, but it's a start. Anything we can possibly do to put a dent in people hurting others, we want to support that. Right? Anything we can do to save lives, we want to do that. And so speaking up about it is crucial. I think a parent's first and foremost responsibility is to protect their children. Sometimes that feels like an invasion of privacy. Sometimes that feels like they're nagging us. Sometimes that feels like they're asking us the same question over and over and over again, and we just want them to leave us alone, right? Parents, I believe, have intuition. They're using that intuition. They can sense when something's off.
Yeah.
but there are times where that intuition is telling us something that's really scary. And so we might, even as a parent, we might want to deny it. No, that couldn't be happening. And so it's crucial for both parents and teens and kids to communicate with each other, even when it's scary. Even if it means, look, I've got to go talk to a therapist, or I've got to go talk to a counselor or somebody that can help me because I can't do this on my own. You know, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Those of you that listen to this podcast know that I'm a therapist, but I've also sat on the therapy couch or in the therapy chair. And I sit around that table, that treatment team table, in most of the chairs that you could imagine as the therapist or the client or the loved one of the client, the parent, the brother, the whatever it is. So we try to look at it from the perspective of everybody, right? What would keep somebody from opening up? And we want to kind of poke holes in that resistance. We want to poke holes in those reasons for us to not get help from somebody else. And so you coming and talking a little bit about what your experience has been hopefully helps somebody have courage to say, ooh, this really sucks. I don't want to have to talk about this, but I need to say something, you know? And so that can inspire other people. And I'm incredibly grateful that you're willing to address that, because there's no obligation for anybody to share any part of their story. But I personally believe that the hard experiences that we have in life, we can, if we choose, share them with other people to help them avoid problems themselves.
The main reason I'm wanting to talk about it, or like, can like bring more like awareness to it, which is, again, cliche to kind of say that, but I definitely think that like, if I kind of like even listen to like a podcast like this, or like kind of knew like that someone else was thinking about this too, because like, I mean, on social media, like, kind of like everyone talks about like that kind of stuff too on like some level, but I definitely think if it was more detailed without like exposing like their like personal like stuff, if it's like a happy medium, it definitely helps. Because I mean, like with like my friends, I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't know if someone else was like thinking about that. And for a while, I didn't even want to like mention like even like my relationship like with food, because like how I was called anorexic, like that definitely affected me for a while. Like, it definitely had an effect on like my like every single thing I was doing on like a daily basis. It definitely helps to like talk about that more, but it is important to like help people like reach out, because I knew that like the friend who I almost lost, I definitely think that like if I had like talked to her or like maybe said something different that night, or like knew what to say during the whole situation, maybe like she wouldn't have sent the text. Like, maybe she like wouldn't be like thinking about that now. Maybe like, I don't know, like maybe like something like better would have happened. But like, I still don't know what to do in like situations and stuff like that. Like, I'm still learning about stuff.
There's a therapist that I follow named Brené Brown, and she has this video out there that I love. I show it to most of my people that I meet with. You can go on, at least the last time I checked, you can go on YouTube and type in sympathy versus empathy, Brené Brown. And it pulls up this little cartoon, and it has Dr. Brown speaking. It has her voice, but it's this cartoon of, I think, a fox, maybe a bear, and an antelope, I think. It's really talking about the difference between like sympathy being, ooh, that sucks. Sucks for you. But not really connecting. And then empathy, where empathy is feeling with somebody, knowing what they're going through. Not necessarily that we went through the same exact thing, but tapping into those feelings, those perspectives that we have that are inside of us, and we connect with another person, especially a friend or a family member, some loved one, right? empathize with somebody is to feel with them. And I think we need more empathy in our world. It doesn't mean that we even agree with somebody else to feel with them. But in that cartoon, she says, I think it's the bear that's kind of the healthy healer in that cartoon. And there's a fox who's sad, who's going through something hard. And the little bear says to the fox, ooh, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad that you told me. And as a therapist, as a person who's been hurt by people starting at a very young age, someone who now has children and sees his children being hurt by the world, sometimes we feel pressure that we should have all the answers, that we should know how to fix everything, whether that's as a parent or a therapist or a helper, a first responder, a teenager, as a friend, any of those roles that we might have in our lives. We feel like we should have all the answers. We should be able to fix things. And so in that cartoon, I love that she says, or acknowledges, I don't even know what to say right now. I don't have the answers for you, but I love you. I'm here for you. I'm so glad that you felt safe enough to share that with me. That's huge. Just talking about it. So to our teens, to the people in our community, the students, the kids, you guys are not alone. You are not the only one going through hard things. And it's not to minimize how hard that stuff is, but I want the message to go out that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through these things alone or in silence. Sometimes when we open up about things, it might feel like it gets worse at first. It's harder because it's really uncomfortable. But I think that's the start to healing, to fixing and resolving those problems. And at some point in time, we'll be able to work through them. Some of those issues are small, and it doesn't take a whole lot of time or effort to resolve them. Some things are really gnarly and really complex, and they take a long time, a lot of work. And it might feel sometimes doing that work, it feels like it's worse than if you would just ignore it to begin with. Recognizing those people in our lives that are good people, that are just loving people, right? We want to gravitate to them. We want to spend more time around those kind of people. They make us feel good. Maybe my task for our listeners and for you and me moving forward is to be the kind of person that we want to be around, be the kind of friend that we would like to have, be a safe person for others, that we wouldn't ever be the bully. That doesn't mean we aren't going to make mistakes, that we aren't going to forget how hard it is to be bullied when we're interacting with other people. But the moment that we realize that we might have made a joke that we thought was funny, but they didn't take it that way, we correct it. We make it right. We do something about it. You know, I love your idea about like real things that schools can do or that communities can do to address this. The assemblies are great. The lectures are great. You know, the cliches are great.
But they don't really do that much.
Yeah.
Because like when I was going through that stuff, if I at least like knew that like my friend was like going through the same stuff at the same time, or I had at least someone else to like open up to about that, like other than my parents, because sometimes that's really scary. And like I said, like I didn't want to hurt them. I didn't want them to be worried. And sometimes like people who like don't want to go to therapy, like, but I still think there should be like somewhere where you can talk or you can talk about it or something that you can do to like process it too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So to those of you within earshot of this conversation, if there's something happening in your life that's making you feel unsafe, please seek out a safe person that you can share that with. And sometimes therapy is needed. Sometimes help from others is necessary, and that's okay. It doesn't make us weak. It doesn't mean we're broken or that we're deficient or weird or anything like that. It doesn't mean we're crazy. It means there's a lot on my plate and I need a little bit of help. So if there's something happening in your life that you need a little bit of help with, please get that help. I know there are apps here in Utah. There is the Safe Utah app. There are resources all over the place to help people out. We need to remind people of how to get those resources. So the Safe Utah app, 811, I believe, is we can text into that and get some help. There are crisis support lines and hotlines where if somebody's feeling unsafe or feeling like they might do something to hurt themselves, they can get some support. We can go to school counseling centers and talk about our worries that we might have for our friends and just say, look, would you check on them for me? Or we could go to a parent and say, I've got a friend who I'm worried about. Could you figure out how to get them some support? If I can't go to them myself, if I feel like, or if a teenager feels like they can't go to their friend and bring this up at all, making sure they say something about it so that that person can get help. And again, to know that they're not alone. A lot of schools now, I don't know how many, like a percentage, but some schools that I'm affiliated with have groups, like therapy groups that they'll offer to kids. I know of situations where other students will have said something about one of their peers that they were worried about, but they didn't know how to get involved or didn't want to get involved or something, didn't have the skills or confidence. And so they would go in and share with a school counselor, look, I'm worried about this person. And so the counselors could bring them in and just check in with them, you know, make sure everything's going okay. So I advocate for those things too. But parents, it's easy to ignore worrisome signs. If we're worried about our teen or worried about our child and we say, hey, how are you doing? Is everything okay? And their response is something like, it's fine. Everything's good. We're good here, right? What's for dinner or whatever, like phrases we use to distract and deflect. If that intuition says, nope, there's still something going on. Nope, I'm not satisfied that everything's fine, that everything's good. Parents, keep asking those questions. Be persistent. Look deeper. Look further. It's so awkward to sit with somebody when we have a scary secret and have to tell them. That can be so overwhelming. So sometimes as a parent or as a therapist, I'll tell parents, if you have to have a difficult conversation with your teen or your kiddo, maybe go for a drive. Then they can look out the window. You know, you don't have to sit and have them staring at you all awkwardly. Or go play catch or shoot hoops or go for a walk, put on some music, something that kind of breaks the ice so it's not quite so awkward to have some of those conversations.
When I opened up to my dad about like my secret, it was like that awkward like face thing, and I kind of wish like I had thought of like maybe it won't be as awkward if we did like snowboarding, like we were snowboarding together. I just kind of like wish I had thought of that and maybe like in the therapy groups, like instead of just saying like, oh, like if you're like worried about someone, just like say this, like tell us so we can help them. Like that is good, but I definitely think maybe if the school like kind of told like kids my age or like kids like in like any grade, kind of like what to do if like they're worried about their friend but they can't talk to the counselor, like even if it's over the summer, like mm-hmm. you don't know who to talk to. And like even like adults, like how to work through situations. Like my dad didn't know what to do. My mom didn't really know what to do. I think they taught more people about like if someone's like saying this or like thinking about this, maybe you can like say this or like work with them or just like talking about a certain subject. Like I don't know what that subject would be, but something like that to help kids. Cause like I wish I knew more to how to help my friend or other people I know, or if I see someone's having a bad day, like mm-hmm. I wish I knew like what to say to help them, because I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. For us to know how to respond, where to go to get help. So yeah, safe adults, parents or grandparents or aunts, uncles, siblings, somebody who can do something, somebody who can help. And a lot of times we might even panic. We're like, I don't know what to do. When yesterday we knew, like we would have a whole game plan. But then in the moment when we might panic or we might have anxiety or stress or worry, we might almost go into shock maybe. Like, I don't know what to do. Trusted adults, trusted loved ones. What happens then? You know, if mom or dad are working or we feel like they're not receptive or they'll be mad at us or they won't believe us or something like that. Seeking out those safe adults that can actually do something. Or persisting with our parent going, hey, mom, no, really, this is an issue. I got to talk to you. Or, dad, I need you to listen. this is serious, and that's okay. You matter. You're important. You don't have to navigate the hardships of this life alone, even though sometimes it feels that way, that nobody else will get it. There is always somebody that will understand. They might not have the same exact story. They might not have gone through the same exact circumstances, but the feelings that come from those things, those are more common than we think. It happens more often than we think. So when we feel alone, one of the ways to combat that feeling of loneliness is to connect with other people. And there are a lot of ways that we can connect with other people in unhealthy ways, where we can get into some trouble, where we can have some consequences and some struggle. And then there are ways to connect with people that are helpful, that can help us navigate through hard times. You mentioned a therapist, parents, teachers. Sometimes we have neighborhood friends too, that are happy and welcoming and kind and will listen. Thank you for coming in and sharing this part of your story. I'm honored to have gotten to hear it. So grateful that you're willing to talk to other teens and share that part of your story. And we hope that this will contribute to healing, that if somebody is getting bullied, that they can get the help right away, that we can even prevent this from happening in the future. There's a phrase that I hear a lot, and it says simply, hurt people hurt people. And I agree with that statement. I believe that it's true, but I'm not okay that it happens. So as a part of Heal the Hurt, part of our quest to eradicate suffering, while we know and acknowledge that that's a very lofty goal, that is part of our mission, that those who are suffering will have healing, that those who are at risk for suffering, at risk for being targeted, bullied, used, groomed in some way, that we can keep them safe. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting our cause. And as always, we hope that you will have a wonderful day. Thanks for joining us on the Heal the Hurt podcast. Please like and subscribe to us on X at Heal the Hurt USA, or on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram at Heal the Hurt Nonprofit. This podcast is brought to you by Hobble Creek Behavioral Health and is produced and edited by Motley Sounds.